The second hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University, and here they are live, the Waybacks. Thanks very much, y'all.
I received an invitation to go to a funeral, but to my sad misfortune, now the fellow didn't die. Of course, the man was vexed at disappointing all the mourners, but then he apologized, and so we let the thing go by. To make up for disappointing us, he took us out and treated us. He bought a pint of porter for a company of 10. Until somebody asked him just whose money was he squandering, he put the fellow's eyelid into mourning there and then. Well, the owner of the beer shop, observing we were riotous, gave orders to evict us. But of course, we all refused. So he whistled up some loungers who were loafing in the corner, and for 10 or 15 minutes we were thoroughly abused. And then we left the beer shop and down the street did stagger, where a gang of corner boys commenced a pelting us with mud. We asked for them to chuck it, And they told us they were doing so, and so we turned on them and left them lying where they stood. Well, the next that we encountered was a company of Salvationers who rifled all our pockets till we begged that we be saved. And little Mac McGinty got invited to the station for inquiring of a policeman how his ancestors behaved. To make McGinty's bail, every man took off his undershirt, and down to the pawn shop we brought the jolly lot. We told the man we wanted only 10 and 6 pence on him. There's enough of them already, was the answer that we got. Well, we got the 10 and 6 pence and went off to free McGinty, but the devil take the beer shop that attacked us on the way. We couldn't pass it by without accepting some refreshment, and we drank up every penny of the fine we had to pay. We bought a concertina for to make the high hilarity, though none of us could play it, though we tried our best and worst. We knocked a lot of noise from it. If that's of any consequence, we handled it so gently that the bellows it did burst. Well, we got a boiled potato for to mend the concertina with when someone hit Maloney with the carcass of a cat. He buttoned up his whiskers and began to read the riot act. He swore he'd put two heads upon the fellow who did that. Then Maloney hit Mahoney and Mahoney hit some other man, and everyone hit anyone to whom he'd owed a spite. And the crippled McNamara, who'd been sitting saying nothing, got a kick that blacked his eye for not indulging in the fight. Well, the liquor being into us, the sense was nearly out of us, so for a bit of rioting we straightway did repair. We battered one another till we all went worth 3 halfpence, and you couldn't see the carpet on the floor for skin and hair. We battered one another till the police separated us and marched us off to jail with bloody noses and black eyes. They marched us off to jail. And to me it's proved a lesson. One should never go to funerals unless somebody dies.
beanheads. In Western Litha, famous names drank coffee day and night to light their literary flames. 'Cause they were beanheads, sleepless caffeine heads in a bean-fed coffee cloud.
Shakespeare sipped triple-strength Turkish in the most obscene amounts. As he said somewhere in Hamlet, it's the sediment that counts. They pronounced him a
beanhead of the Jacobean period, the supreme head of that crowd.
Dickens kept a silver tea set in his hall for all to see. Though it was only there for show, his cafe au lait just looked like tea. Mr. D was a
beanhead. In spite of the tea set, coffee he'd get from the spout. Beanheads. Of all the greats we read in school, every poet, every playwright was a coffee-drinking fool. They were all beanheads, 'cause that's what they needed to keep genius flowing out.
They say Honoré de Balzac went through 40 cups a day. 40 cups! And that's not all, Jack. He kept his desk at his cafe. I'd say Ray was a
beanhead till the day that his spleen bled, which Gay Pad reread all about. Beanheads. As Boswell wrote of Dr. Johnson, when he's not got a nice hot pot, you can bet your life he wants one. One of those beanheads. He's merely a retread of what we said up to now. Coming up later in volume two, the modern era got more than a few
beanheads,
sleepless caffeine heads in a bean-fed cloud for you.
When I leave this western ocean, to the southern I will steer. In a tall colonial clipper, far and far not from here. Down the channel on a bowline, through the tropics running free. When I've done with the western ocean, and when it's done with me. And I'll run my ship in Sydney, and then I'll work my way to them smiling South Sea islands, where there's sunshine all the day. And I'll sell my chest and gear there as soon as I hit the shore, and sling away my last discharge and go to sea no more. It's a pleasant time they have there, they have easy, quiet lives. And they wear no clothes to speak of, they've a bunch of brownie wives. And they're bathing all the day long, or basking on the sand. All along with them Kanakas, as naked as your hand. And I'll lay there in the palm shade and take my ease all day and look across the harbor to the shipping in the bay and watch the working sailor men, the blooming same as me, in the working Western Ocean before I left the sea. I'll hear them at the capstan bars, a-heaving good and hard. I'll hear them tallying on the fall and sweating up the yard. Hear them lift the halyard shanty, hear the bosun swear and shout, and the thrashing of the head sheets as the vessel goes about. And if the fancy takes me, as it's like enough it may, just to smell the old ship smells again and taste the salt and spray, I can take a spell of purling or a trading trip or two, where it's none but golden weather and a sky that's always blue. But I'll do no sailorizing jobs, I'll walk or lay at ease, like a blessed packet captain, just as lordly as you please. With a steward for my table, and a boy to bring my beer, and a score or two Kanakas for to reef and furl. And when I'm tired of cruising up and down and here and there, there'll be kind Kanaka women with the red flowers in their hair, all waiting there to welcome me when I come in from sea, when I've done with this here ocean. But that'll never be. For I'd hear the parrots screaming and the palm trees drowsy tune, but I'd want the banks in winter and the smell of ice in June, and the hard case mates a-ballin' and the striking of the bell. God, I've cursed it often cruel, but I'd miss it all like hell. Yes, I'd miss the Western Ocean, where the packets come and go, and the gray gulls wheeling, calling, and the gray skies a-hanging low, and the blessed lights of Liverpool a-winking in the rain, for to welcome us poor packet rats come back to port again. And if I took and died out there, my soul would never stay in them sunny southern latitudes to wait the judgment day. All across the seas from England, I should hear the old life call, and the blooming Western Ocean, it'd get me after all. Flying like a seagull, as they say dead shellbacks do, for to see the ships I sailed in and the shipmates that I knew, and the tough old North Atlantic, where the winds do always blow, and the Western Ocean packets all a-plying to and fro. And I'd leave the trades behind me, and I'd leave the Southern Cross and the Molly Mocks and flying fish and stately albatross, and I'd steer through wind and weather and the sea fogs white as wool, until I sighted old Port Linus and the port of Liverpool. And then I fly to some flash packet when the hands was bending sail. And I'd set up on the main truck, doing out my wings and tail. And I'd see the tug alongside, and the Peter flying free. And the pilot come aboard her, for to take her out to sea. And I'd follow down to Fastnet Light, and then I'd hang around there to watch them out to westward and greet them homeward bound. For I know it's easy talking, and I know when all is said, it's the blooming western ocean what'll get me when I'm
The Packet Rats from the Waterbug album, Waterbug label, that is. William Pinn and Felicia Dale, Seven Seas. We have to go into the break. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher. We have lots more music to go. We're only halfway through the show, yes, indeed, and we're taking a break. Oh, yes, we are. Hang on, hang on. We're coming right back.
Support for programs on Northwest Public Radio comes from contributing listeners and from the folks at Rico's, a neighborhood pub in downtown Pullman, a venue for live music on the Palouse, including jazz, bluegrass, and folk. Rico's, 104 years of service to Pullman and the WSU community.
Sunny skies this weekend with high temperatures today, 87 in Moscow, 94 in Lewiston. Several degrees warmer tomorrow with lows tonight in the 50s to lower 60s. Next week should be partly cloudy, a little cooler by midweek with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms.
In the early 80s, mid-80s, Moving Hearts was the group that that actually electrified Irish music and did kind of cool stuff. Christy Moore was one of the originators of the group. He's not in this next cut. Donald Lunny, Davy Spillane originally, who did work with the Titanic soundtrack later on and all kinds of folks. Anyway, they're live from Dublin album, Moving Hearts, with Declan Sennett and all those guys. Anyway, they did a live album and did some material that had been studio-wise. We already recorded from an album called The Storm. This is their version of The Lark. They call it The Lark Set, The Lark, Lark in the Morning, and a bunch of other tunes here. It's quite long. And these were like the rockers that were doing traditional folk music, Moving Hearts, Moving Hearts.
Mr. John Stanford of London Town died. They read out his will, his legacy spy. Said, take this bequest for to build me a craft, so that with it my name shouldn't die, and give it to the RNLI. So they fashioned a lifeboat of Liverpool class, 38 feet from the stem to the aft, with a close reefed mainsail on a 20-foot mast. And to grant the last wish of his life, named it Mary after his wife. For she went into service in 1916, 63 times from the boathouse she screamed, across the shale of Rye Bay, past the teeth of the storm, and into the mouth of the waves, all sailors' lives there to save. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier. On the 15th day of November each year, and one day the sea, she will give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head. Now Johnny Head just turned 17, and to serve on that lifeboat, it was young Johnny's dream. His father was the coxswain, and his brother in the crew. And to serve, he was willing to die on the Mary Stanford of Rye. On November 15th, with the storm at its height, the Alice of Riga was losing her fight. 7 miles from Dungeness, she was drifting and lost. And the crew prayed and cried to the moon, and that's when they heard the maroon. It was 4 in the morning when young Johnny Head, on hearing that signal, he leapt from his bed. With his father and his brother, they ran like the wind that churned up the furious waves. But there were lives to be saved. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier. On the 15th day of November each year, and one day the sea, she will give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head. To haul out that lifeboat, it took blood and tears. Took them 2 hours, each one seemed like a year. Exhausted and spent, they set her afloat. And into the barbarous wave rode Mary to Alice's aid. It was 6:45 when the shoreman lost sight of the Mary. She pitched out into the night. And at 6:51, the Coast Guard they rang, saying, stand down, your lifeboat men brave, for the Alice is already saved. Now nobody knows from that day to this,
Why the Coast Guard got word at 11 past 6, but the message they kept 40 minutes or more. While 17 brave men of Rye rode into a tempest to die. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier on the 15th day of November each year. And one day the sea, she will give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head. It was almost noon on that terrible morn. The family and the launch crew had waited since dawn, when suddenly somebody pointed and cried. And there in the surf and the spray, the Mary Stanford she lay. Now her body was battered and her keel was upright. No close reefed mainsail, no crewmen in sight. They hauled her ashore and they knelt round and prayed. And they gazed out again at the main, and the tears they ran like rain. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier on the 15th day of November each year. And one day the sea, she will give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head. And then one by one the sea gave up her dead. First Willie Clark, and then Jimmy Head, then Albert and Rob, two cutting boys, and three from the Pope family, and nine more sons of the sea. Oh, but young Johnny Head, he never came home. He lies out somewhere in the ocean alone. His comrades lie buried in the churchyard at Rye, and they keep him a place for his bed. One day they'll find Johnny Head. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier on the 15th day of November each year. And one day the sea, she'll give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head. So the next time you sail around Hastings and Rye, look to the distance and keep out an eye. And if you see a young man from the RNLI standing guard over the foam, then you'll know that Johnny's come home. Oh, Johnny, come home, they all sing from the pier on the 15th day of November each year. And one day the sea, she'll give up her dead, and home will come young Johnny Head. Home will come young Johnny Head.
Oh, the Mary Stanford of Rye, that is such a good song, and it is an ironic song, according to the governor. It really is. Hey, you know what? We're done with the second hour of the show. We got to split on out of here and come back for the third hour. Chris Stordahl, thanks for doing the playlists. Kevin Rinker, Charlotte Yao, Brett Charbot, all those folks helping on the show. I'm Dan Maher, your host. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We're going to be right back for lots more music. You just hang on, because we're coming back. We're coming back.
From Scotland, Ireland, North America, and even further afield, bask in the glow of my selection of more new music from Celtic roots. Join me again this week on the Thistle and Shamrock.
Be sure to join Fiona Ritchie in 1 hour at 2 o'clock, right after the third hour of Inland Folk with Dan Maher, here on your NPR and classical music station, Northwest Public Radio.